You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers for Tuesday, October 29th. I'm Chris Manning, your host. Today's show is all about the Cavs game against the Bucks last night. They lose that one, 129-112. An interesting game in certain aspects of it. You had, I think, them fighting a little bit harder, which we'll talk about in the positives of the game. Some stuff that didn't really work, we'll get into that. That's all today's show is going to be. James Rapine from 92.3 The Fan is going to be on tomorrow to help me talk about Cavs Bulls and sort of the little things we've seen over the course of three games. Okay, what went well against the Bucks? Tristan Thompson, I thought, has remained just very solid, been very good this season. He defends Giannis as well as one could hope. I thought he was at least aggressive on offense and had an okay shooting night against a bad defense. Tristan, I think, has just been, you know, I think Garland's had moments. I think everyone pretty much that has played has had some stuff that I think is really interesting. But I think when you look at Tristan, he's just looked like the best version of himself this season. His stat line last night is 8 of 18. 1-2 from the free throw line, 13 boards, 5 on the offensive glass, 8 on the defensive end, has 4 assists as well. You know, no blocks, really did, but really was tasked with doing one of the hardest things to league right now, which is defending Giannis. He defended Giannis. I haven't looked at the matchup stats yet from NBA.com, but he was the primary guy in Giannis. Larry Nance did a little bit, but they didn't ask Jetty to do it. They didn't, you know, try Alphonso McKinney. John Beilein was like, Tristan, this is, and J.B. Bickerstaff were like, Tristan, this is your job, you're going to do it. And he, in playing a co-lead of 33 minutes, I thought did that about as well as you could sort of hope. You know, he just looks healthy, he looks energetic, he's just moving around and bouncing, and he's got that little floater down right now for the most part. There's some finishing stuff inside where you hope that, you know, maybe a couple of these shots he can get in with more regularity. Missed like two layups is right at the rim. But Tristan's been really good, and I thought last night was just another example of that. Milwaukee did a lot to kind of funnel the ball to let him sort of make plays, and for the most part, I thought Tristan did really, really well. Again, he's just been awesome so far this year. I thought, you know, that if he doesn't do what he does against Giannis and at least make him fight, use his strength, really be able to handle the barreling drives that Giannis is going to do at you, you know, this becomes a lot harder, and I thought Tristan did about as well as you could have hoped for him. For Kevin Love, his stat line, 5 of 12 from the field in 33 minutes, 3 of 10 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 16 boards, 2 assists. Number one, Kevin Love has been just an excellent, excellent rebounder so far this year. He's just kind of crushed it on that end. He's doing a really good job of really securing defensive rebounds in particular. Tristan does, again, a lot of that offensive rebounding work. Larry Nance will too, kind of coming off the bench, but Kevin is there and he's securing boards. He's then kickstarting the offense. He's kind of the engine in terms of if the guards are like the arrow in a bow and arrow, Kevin is the drawstring. He's the one pulling it back. He's cocking it up and he's getting it ready to go. That's not a great analogy, but we're just going to go with it. Kevin, I thought, you know, handled some interesting stuff. This is a tough matchup for him just because defensively he's guarding Brooke Lopez. And I thought he did okay. I thought there are certain times where you could see him, I have to go back and watch to kind of get the full thing, but either, you know, got a little beat or just, you know, didn't go out and contest a shot and gave up some open looks to Lopez. But with him, he also just is, it's a weird matchup because Giannis is one of those guys that can sort of try to devour him. And Kevin's too good to be completely eliminated from a game like this. And we'll get into this in the negatives, but Kevin, only taking 2 shots inside the arc is an indicator, and only getting 2 foul shots is an indicator of sort of what he's sort of going against in this game. And I thought, considering he did a good job rebounding, was still doing a good job kind of getting the ball moving, still was trying to make his impact felt, I thought that considered, it was at least a positive night in that regard. Another positive for me was Larry Nance. I thought Nance was really stabilizing in bench units. Stat line for him is 15 points, 8 boards, 1 assist, 2 of 4 from 3. The 3-point shot looked good. I know there was some discourse on Twitter last night about Nance's 3-point shooting. Just to kind of give you some context about where he's at. So he was 2-4 again last night, as I said. He's a guy who, again, this is still new for him. This is still something where that he hasn't quite done. But if you look at his numbers, according to Basketball Reference so far this year, he's taking 4.3 threes a game. He's making 1.3 of those a game. Last year, he took 1.5 a game, and that was like the revelatory thing. I wrote about this. He's gone from 0.2 when he was with that one season with the Cavs, 0.2 when he was 23 as a rookie, took 0.6 in his last full season in LA. Last year, takes 1.5. This year, he's jumped up to 1.3. He came into last night only shooting about 22% on them. That percentage, again, this is still a very small sample size, goes up to 30.8. Now, you know, he shot 33.7 last year. That's kind of the number you're hoping, I think, he kind of gets up to on that volume. We'll see if he can sustain that. But when he's comfortably taking threes and the Cavs are getting him corner threes, which are the most makeable three on the floor, that's a really good sign. He defended Giannis well, too, when he was asked to. I thought overall he's just kind of been a really solid part of that defense. He's very active. He's communicating. The energy's there. He looks like he's healthy this year after kind of dealing with some issues. Had two nice blocks last night as well. So I think Larry Nance has been excellent. I think when you overall just look at the Love, Tristan, Nance trio, is it opposite of sort of how you want to necessarily build a team in this NBA? Yes, but the way the Cavs have kind of transitioned from LeBron era, these are kind of the three leaders of this group right now. They are the ones kind of providing the stability, providing the core of what the Cavs are going to do. You know, John Henson could get in there as well, just in terms of his rim protection. I think there's clearly a need for that guy on this roster, both now and moving forward. But I think you look at the Nance, Tristan, Love trio, even when some of them aren't doing things particularly well, you know, Nance and these guys are just kind of stabilizing things. And I think to Nance's credit, I'll have to do some lineup data, kind of look at his pairings and whatnot to kind of fully write about this or talk about this on the show. But I think he's just been awesome and he's done a really good job kind of filling in on the bench, playing some four, playing some five, and kind of stabilizing these bench units where, you know, along with Delly, he's kind of, when he's playing with Clarkson and Kevin Porter Jr., he's got to be the one moving the ball. And he's doing, I think, a good job of, even if he's not getting the assist numbers I think he's capable of getting, I think he's at least kind of moving the ball and doing a good job of keeping things flowing in John Beilein's offense. Lastly, the three other good things. I thought Jetty and Sexton both played pretty well. So to start with Jetty, disappeared for a little bit after the first quarter, but he hit some threes. He had two assists, worked hard on defense, primarily against Chris Middleton. Middleton had a really good game, 21 points, 9 of 14 shooting. Ends up leading Milwaukee and scoring in this one with George Hill, ex-Cav George Hill, scoring 19 off the bench to come in second there. Giannis, again, only had 14 points, which speaks to what Tristan really did in this one. And he only got to the line 8 times, which is pretty good. But with Jetty, at least he's fighting through stuff. He's getting his hand up. Middleton just had a really good night. That's going to happen sometimes. You know, I think there's certain instances where his pass are a little, his angles on shot contests are a little off, and Jetty's going to have to, you know, kind of, I think, find a role that we're, ideally in the future, he's not defending like Chris Middleton, he's maybe defending just not a lead guard, but the Bucks are obviously very good. But I liked his game. The passing stuff, we'll see where it gets him. The plus-minus stuff with him is really encouraging. He's 2-5 from three, the form looks good. Had a really nice finish on Middleton as well, where he got kind of trapped in the baseline, but pump faked, got under Middleton and got a layup. Little stuff like that was kind of a good sign for Jetty. I've liked what we've seen from him so far this season. Again, 10 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 2 assists, and a rebound for Jetty last night in 27 minutes. And then Colin Sexton, look, not, you know, was this, there's stuff with him that I think we have to kind of see how it plays out. The passing stuff just definitely is not there for him. He's not going to be that guy on this team. It doesn't look like he's really kind of got that one major gear. When you look at his foul shooting, I think that one of the big things for his next leap as a scorer is going to be drawing fouls. You know, according to Cleaning the Glass, last year he was only got a shooting foul on 7% of his shot attempts. That's 20th percentile. That's very low. Only got an and-1 on 18.2%. Of his, when he drew a foul, that's in the 27th percentile. Those are both very bad numbers. He hasn't gotten an and-1 this year, and he's a little bit up at 8.3%, but this is an 80-plus percent free throw shooter. That's going to improve. I think that's going to get better, but it's not there in his game just yet. I think the size should help him a little bit there. But to his credit, and I think it's something that's going to be valuable for the Cavs this year, he is just willing to be aggressive. He's willing to go out there and go get try to get buckets. He's trying to create some juice in the Cavs offense. He's got this confidence that is sort of needed right now. We'll get into Darius Garland. He had a passive game last night. When Kevin is kind of funneled off like this, you need Colin Sexton to do stuff like this. So 8 of 15 for him, 30 minutes, 2 of 5 from 3 is really launching his threes when he gets that opening. 3 rebounds, 1 assists, 2 turnovers, picked up 3 fouls as well. Was the Cavs' leading scorer last night in Milwaukee. For him, just him being that guy and kind of pushing the ball, getting the ball up the floor, trying to score, doing just that kind of stuff when they kind of need someone just to create things, I think is really useful. You know, Beeline's scheme is going to create good looks. That's the design of it. That's the principle of it. Sometimes you just need a guy that's going to go out there, attack, and go get buckets. Think about what makes Kyrie so special for that instance. That is not to compare Colin Sexton and Kyrie. Kyrie is a much, much better player. Was a higher ceiling prospect as well, in my opinion. But I think Sexton has that same kind of energy where he's just going to go and be able to get you some buckets. And I think even against a really good defensive team like Milwaukee, he's capable of doing that. Also love that he was talking some shit to George Hill. That's just really fun. And let's see, Jordan Clarkson. I thought he played a good game last night. For him, 6 of 13 off the bench, 2 of 6 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line, had 4 assists. Does really well, kind of cutting, doing some of the stuff inside. I thought he was a very patient Jordan Clarkson last night. So good to see from him, even in the loss. All right, we're going to take a quick break, get all of our ads out of the way, come back for part 2 of this podcast. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavs. And we're back. Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Okay. The bad from this game was, I think, the big thing for me, the passive version of Darius Garland. So I think in the first two games, we really saw what his impact looked like. We really saw kind of the role he might kind of carve out for himself, at least early on. I don't think that was there. I don't know if that's because, Eric Bledsoe and other really good defenders were kind of on him. I don't know if the Bucks as a whole just kind of throw so much of a wrinkle into what the Cavs were doing that it just wasn't there for him. But this just felt like a game where Garland was a little lost for the first time. He has that floater he can go to. There needs to be probably another move or two for him to kind of get there when he doesn't have the pass or the floater. He's still learning. And again, it's so early, but that's kind of one of those progression steps you're going to want to see. It's going to be tough sometimes for him, I think, depending on what lineups he's in, to not feel overwhelmed. So when he's out there with Sexton, Love, Jordan Clarkson, all these guys, multiple of those guys at once, He's kind of probably going to get pushed to the side a little bit, just naturally in the hierarchy of this group right now. He's going to have to find ways to be assertive, whether that's launching shots, whether that's trying to create like he did in the first two games. That's going to be the kind of the stuff. It's really, again, only game 3. You know, last night for him was 23 minutes, the lowest of the starters. Dele played about the same minutes as him. Jordan Clarkson, after not playing as much the first couple of games, kind of played more than him as well. That was probably the right call in the moment. But if you're looking at Darius Garland, you know, he took 11 shots, which I didn't think he took that many. Took 5 threes, didn't realize he took that many. It just didn't feel like the Garland and the kind of impact we've seen him have, even if it wasn't like a Ja Morant-style breakout game, I think we saw more from him those first couple games. We'll see what he looks like against Milwaukee, Chicago on Wednesday, Indiana again on Friday. Chicago, you know, they have Sadoransky, they have Kobe White, they have Zach LaVine. They have guards that I think he can, at least in the case of White and LaVine, if he's guarded by those guys, I think he can do some stuff. Sadoransky's a little better defensively, but not like, you know, prime Gary Payton or anything like that. So we'll see what this kind of looks like for Garland. Again, he's still really young. He's still really learning kind of how to do everything, and this is still very new for him. This league is still very new for him, and he hasn't played a ton of basketball since last fall. So there's just going to be kind of a learning curve here, and I think this is going to be one of those things. And again, Milwaukee's a great defensive team. They had George Hill, Bledsoe. Regardless of what you think about those guys and their ability to perhaps perform in the playoffs, those guys are really good defensively. And when they're thrown at one Darius Garland, that's going to be an adjustment for someone who's just starting out in the league. I thought the off-ball defense was super, super bad. Garland was bad here too. He lost Bledsoe a lot. He also got beat off the dribble a little bit by Bledsoe. Bledsoe and the Bucks in particular really were kind of trying to kind of bully him and kind of make him make some mistakes. but I thought everyone on the team was really losing shooters, had a really hard time sticking with the guys off ball and kind of tracking everything that was going on. That's sort of by design. I would just say that when you're defending Giannis, you're going to really try to put your a lot of attention on him. There was doubles thrown at him. They're trying to make Giannis give up the ball. If you think about like the first era LeBron Cavs, like that was sort of a similar strategy with less shooting that team sort of provided. But against a Budenholzer system, which is spacing, ball movement, shooting, that kind of issue is death. Role guys on the Bucks had really just good nights. Chris Middleton, 9 of 13. Brooke Lopez, 5 of 9. Wes Matthews, 5 of 9. Kyle Korver, 3 of 3. George Hill, 7 of 10. Pat Connaughton, 6 of 8, including a 4 of 5 from 3, really torched the Cavs in the first half. Again, the defensive focus on Giannis is on Giannis. The Cavs are still not going to be a good defensive team this year. I'm going to pull this up, but they were, again, last year they were dead last in the league. They came into this game 5th in defensive rating, which is just at like 96 defensive rating, which is extremely good. Would not be a sustainable thing, I would argue, for the long term. That's just not the way this team is really going to work. But for them, they're going to make mistakes. There's going to be issues. They go from, I think, 4th in defensive rating down to league average, about 15th. At 105, that's still better than last year. It's probably still a little bit better than they're going to be this year. But I think for them, when you just kind of consider what kind of cost you a game like that, when Tristan does such a good job on Giannis, even if he's getting support and the focus is on Giannis, learning how to track those shooters is going to be really big. Korver's hard to track. These guys are hard to track, but that's kind of the style of play you're seeing in the NBA right now. You need to be able to kind of track those shooters and be aware of kind of what's going on. That's going to be a learning curve, I think, for Garland, for Sexton still, for basically everyone on the roster. That's going to be the young future, not, you know, Kevin Love, Tristan, Larry Nance, etc. But I'm going to go back and watch that and kind of see sort of what wrong, see if I can diagram that a little bit more, see if that's an ongoing problem. But that was, to me, the big killer on defense last night, which is keep continually losing track of people who would then take a wide open three. I thought this was Kevin Porter Jr.'s also his worst game, which makes some sense. This is a really tough stylistic opponent for him. The instinct stuff still appears to be there, just kind of the awareness on defense. I think there's still some stuff he knows how to do, which is really encouraging. But 1-7 from the field, a little lost on defense. I thought especially when he was chasing shooters, him chasing Kyle Korver around was tough. That's just a really hard assignment for someone who's kind of learning how to do this. This is one of those games, I think, where you just remember that he's so, so raw. These are normal games for someone who's 19 and is just still figuring shit out. There are, again, some indications that he has better instincts that I think maybe was prognosticated about his game. But he tries to do a little bit too much on both ends. You know, he in one instance, he had a drive into like 4 Bucks defenders, commits an offensive foul or a turnover. Stuff like that is just not going to be how he comes to pass as the best version of himself. Again, stuff I liked. Him attacking Korver, I thought, was really, really great. Him, he really was just used his athleticism to his advantage. He's able to get off shots. Some of his shots were tough, but he had some really good shot attempts as well. They're going to fall, I think, as he just kind of gets more reps. But we'll see what happens when Dylan Windler comes back with him. But, you know, this was his worst game, but I don't think it was exactly a total loss either. He just, again, is very raw. He's 19. There's a lot for him to learn against that caliber of opponent like Milwaukee. That kind of game makes a lot of sense to me. And I think the last thing that was tough, and I think really this is the struggle for the Cavs in this one more than anything else. Kevin Love, again, as I mentioned in the first segment, only took 2 shots inside the arc. If you look at what he did against the Indiana Pacers, when he was really the engine of the Cavs offense, almost had a triple-double, was passing, scoring, doing everything. Kevin had his, took... Kevin took an overall, only took 8 shots against Indiana, but got to the line 9 times, 3 of 5 from 3. 3 of 5 from 3. So only took 3 shots inside the arc in that game. But he also got to the line 9 times, which he had, I think, 1 3-point free throw, but was also doing a lot of work inside the paint, using his frame, kind of manipulating these post-ups, drawing fouls on guys, etc. When you're looking at how the Cavs offense is going to work at its best, getting Kevin successful touches at the elbow, a little in the elbow on the block, and having movement go around that is going to be one of the ways they can just manufacture points. The problem is that when Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a great defender in addition to just being the destroyer of worlds, is on you, he's going to kind of eliminate you a little bit. Kevin, you know, was still very aggressive. He had a really nice like pump fake and up and under on Giannis at one point. But when his offensive game is so taken away in this instance, it's just going to struggle. I think things just didn't flow quite as well. You saw the Cavs like trying to get the ball moving, trying to be snappy. It's not quite in their DNA yet to do that. That's still going to be an adjustment. Especially against a really good defense like this. But I think the offensive struggles to me really come from Kevin just not being able to really feel established. He's the hub of what they do. Even if you hung really tight and the Cavs fought their asses off in this game, I think the struggles just really start with that. And I think figuring out ways to establish him on tough nights or find someone else you can really lean on a little bit, whether that's Colin Sexton, you know, whether that becomes, you know, maybe it's Jordan Clarkson off the bench. You know, I don't know quite what it is, but you need to probably find someone else you can just lean on a little bit just because it gives you more, it gives you just a higher floor to kind of work with. And when Kevin is cut off like that, it just becomes really tough to, I think, manufacture anything substantial. That to me was the root of the offensive issues in that one. The Cavs, just for a little context, posted a offensive rating last night of 106.3, which is actually pretty good. They came into last night as one of the worst offenses in the league. 106 would actually be one of the better offensive ratings in the league for the year. But right now, they're the 26th ranked offense at 100 points per 100 possessions. The only teams worse, Orlando, Sacramento, and Utah. So they're even with the Grizzlies as well. So we'll see kind of what comes next for Cleveland. We'll see what their offense kind of looks like. The numbers would indicate it was a little better than I'm giving it credit for. But I think the not being able to establish Kevin and really kind of relying on Tristan doing a bunch of stuff and Colin kind of implementing himself, I think if they're going to be as successful as possible, you need to find a better way to kind of implement Kevin or find a realistic alternative. That's just kind of, that's a long-term problem for the roster as well, but that's just in the short term, in the micro sense, worth looking at. All right, so that's going to be it for today's show. Again, up a little bit later today, but just had to get some other stuff done first. Please check out the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening for the first time, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're going to be again back tomorrow with James Rapine from 92.3, breaking down the first couple games, looking ahead to Cavs-Bulls on Wednesday. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off in Cleveland, and then they play Indiana on Friday, the Dallas Mavericks at home on Sunday. So you get your Luka and KP fix already this weekend. But that's going to be it for today's show. Find me on Twitter at CWMrights. The pod is on Twitter at LockedOnCavs. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.